Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning, and yes, we have made it. We have made it to Friday. It is a Friday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We got JC in just a minute. Then we're going to be joined by former Gator linebacker Earl Everett. Won a national title for Urban Meyer in 2006.
Yeah.
Has one of the most iconic pictures in Gator football history that we will, I'm sure people remember. He's sacking Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith without a helmet on. Remember that, JC?
Yeah, who can forget that play, man? And who can forget that game? You know, Galloway takes it back, or who? I don't know if it's Galloway. Somebody took it back.
Wasn't it Ted Ginn?
It was Teddy Ginn. Excuse me. It was Teddy Ginn. Sorry. Or somebody fast for Ohio State took it back, and we were thinking, uh-oh. And, boy, did that thing turn fast. And good for Florida. That was Chris Leak, and that was a defense that played one of the best games I've ever seen Florida put out there defensively.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll talk with Earl Everett, second portion of the program. So, JC, I know you were glued to the TV last night. I know you watched the NBA draft, didn't you?
No. Sorry I missed it, but I heard about Trey Mann, and I'm happy that he's going to OKC. And I can't say that I watched much of that last night. I was trying to figure out why I didn't make one birdie yesterday. But
well, I can tell you why.
Nobody's asking you. but I just missed some putts that punched the greens out here. They're very choppy and bumpy, and yeah, I'm tired of it. But, I mean, I don't know how many times he's got to punch the greens out here. But I guess 30-year-old greens have to be punched all the time. But, yes, basketball, great. Good for Trey Mann.
Scotty Lewis, you know, got drafted by the Hornets.
Yeah, you didn't think that was happening, did you?
Well, he's what they look for, a very athletic guy. Let me ask you this, JC. Yeah. What conference had the most players selected in the first round?
Well, again, I didn't watch the NBA draft.
But I didn't either. But you're on Twitter every five minutes. You should know
I'm going to take a guess and say the SEC.
That's right. You know, it just means more. It just means more. Even though we're not a basketball conference, we had seven dudes taken in the first round.
That's awesome.
Tennessee.
Also, the conference officially invited Oklahoma and Texas yesterday as they had a unanimous vote from all these chancellors and presidents and so forth. Go ahead.
Dan, who listens to us out in Texas.
You're damn right.
On Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law. He goes, I'm now closer to three SEC schools than I was when I lived in Jacksonville. It's true.
Hey, it's great. I mean, the only question I'm going to have is, are they going to actually be able to come before 2025?
Yes. Next year. I told you, JC.
You don't tell me why. You just say that's what you think, but you don't say why.
Well,
what do you base it on? Tell me what you're
basing it on. Missouri and A&M, it was the same thing. We'll be there in 3 or 4 years. They were playing football the very next year.
I don't think it was. I think there
was. Yes, it was.
There was a TV rights issue that was not as stringent as it is today. I mean, that's a lot of money.
I'm just telling you right now. I think they're going to be playing next year.
The only way that's happening is if, in my mind, from what I've read and based on what I think is factual, is that the Big 12 would literally have to disintegrate. That's the only way.
Which it could.
Well, okay. So let's say that then. Then that's why you have to surmise that that's.
Well, they can also 80 million dollars is nothing to those two universities.
What are you talking about? It is coming off a pandemic. They didn't get any revenue.
They can make it. They're going to make it up in the SEC.
Well, I mean, you can borrow money off future cash flows all you want, all day long, and twice on Sunday. And I get that they can get it back, but they really have committed for some reason on saying 2025. They are saying that. I don't know if the lawyers are telling them that. It's probably part of the reason. But, you know, that's what you hear. I mean, that's what they say publicly. It's 2025. And I guess I'm just missing something here because to me, hey, Sam, but to but to me, it doesn't make sense because you don't want to play in a league for 3 years that you know you're leaving, and then try to tell recruits that, hey, come play with us, even though we're playing in an inferior conference, and so that we don't want to be a part of. It just none of this is really connected for me yet, but I do agree with you that somehow they're going to make it happen before 2025.
Yeah, and if the Big 12, they're going to lawyer up and they'll figure something out. Trust me, I just don't. Yeah, I mean that's the way of the world, right?
Well, I mean lawyers are important, I suppose. Not that you have to like them, but they are important.
So now you have multiple SEC school teams that you do now.
Well, I have reasons for all that. You, on the other hand, would just pick one because, well, listen, you played for one.
Well, I actually performed in front of crowds for one. That's why I like that school.
Well, that's what I just said.
Okay.
But I've, you know, I haven't performed, but I've spent a lot of money for one, and actually more than one. It's about four, it feels like, but really three. So I don't know. I think, I think the league, what I guess is going to be really interesting is to see how the rest of college football responds to this earth-shattering and groundbreaking maneuver, QB. And that's, that's a guessing game, right? It's all hypothetical. But what is interesting is how are these other conferences going to respond to the fact that the SEC is now going to be a 16-team league and possibly even bigger. And I know that's all a guessing game, but that's something I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what happens actually to the Big 12. Who else tries to leave the Big 12? And what will the other conferences like the ACC and the Big Ten try to do to try to expand alongside the SEC and get to 16 teams?
Yeah, real quick, JC, we got a couple of Facebook lives. I missed one. He was talking about – he was saying hello from West Virginia.
Okay.
Okay, so Nat says here, I wonder what the vote count was yesterday in the SEC for Texas and OU. It wasn't unanimous?
It was either unanimous or 13-1. It was either unanimous or 13.
It was 14. It was 14 yes 14, votes.
Okay, 14. Okay, 14 then.
So Cliff says, he goes, did y'all see Coach Spurrier's comment on Texas joining the SEC? Quote, they can't win the Big 12 anyway.
good for him. He doesn't have to worry about getting his brains beat out.
Texas ain't beat nobody in a long time.
It's funny, too.
Last time they won was when Vince Young was playing. Yeah, Matt Brown was their coach.
They have completely underwhelmed, right? Certainly, no doubt about it. It's not because they didn't try. They tried to hire coaches that they thought could help them win. But QB, Oklahoma State, let's just use them as an example. They're one of the schools getting left out with the bathwater. And they, as a school, as a team, have dominated Texas the last 10 years. They really have. I think they've won 7 out of the last 10 years. And yet, they're getting also ran status. And the reason is the brand. It's the brand and it's the demographic that Texas brings and the TV market. And certainly it's about money. And they have more than OU, Oklahoma State, even though Oklahoma State's done a great job with some of their boosters, one who's deceased, but was one of the biggest college football boosters ever. His name was Boone Pickens. And one of the reasons why Oklahoma State has improved so greatly is because of help like that. But again, it's Stillwater, Oklahoma. The conference is left with a lot of rural, dead type of football programs that can't move the needle. And unfortunately, I don't know how they're going to get over it.
Well, but having said that, the SEC has tons of rural areas. It ain't like we got a bunch of metropolitan cities.
What Oklahoma and Texas have seen and what they have always wanted was to be part of what the SEC brings to the table on College Football Saturday. And the money that the conference generates from the TV, you can call it rural all you want, but the interest is there, QB.
Oh, I love Dan. Dan says – he's referring to Texas, I believe. He says, not a lot of national titles in any sport, really. He goes, maybe JC has that 2021 Texas Rowing National Championship shirt on. What do you got on there, JC?
This would be your Stanley Cup Champion shirt. Okay.
And I'll tell you what.
By the way, they have lost a lot of players.
Here
I got one more for you that might knock you off your socks. Of course, I'm celebrating Texas's entry. This right here is my North Carolina State Wolfpack year because the Center for Doubt and Confusion, also known as the Center for Disease Control, is really mixing us up with this COVID variant story, that there is word we're going back to lockdowns in some of the blue states in this country. That would not be good coinciding with school and college football or NFL football. So let's just remember the Wolf Pack, baby. That's my rallying cry when it comes to COVID-19 and all the craziness because of how they were jabbed at literally at the College World Series. But right now, it's not about NC State or COVID. It's about Texas and coming over to the SEC. And yeah, they have sucked. There's no doubt about it. But for a school that has the things they have, this is a steal. Getting them to come to the SEC and be a part of this league and play, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas. That's a great rivalry, Texas and Arkansas. In fact, they're playing this year. They're going to start the season. Texas and Arkansas are going to play again. I know that doesn't get people excited around here. Trust me, over there, it is a big deal. So if the SEC wants to expand like it's obviously doing, this is important to have other areas of the conference get excited about football. And OU and Texas have wanted badly to be a part of the college football experience, so to speak, in the SEC for years because it's such a quiet, kind of dead situation in the Big 12. It has been, even though they're third in revenue in front of the ACC and behind the Big 10 and the SEC, they are losing that now because of their two schools that have basically subsidized the entire conference. And those two schools are tired of subsidizing the entire conference. And I get what's going on. It's very simple to figure out. It's all money.
Yep. Sandy says on Facebook Live, she's about to go diving in Key Largo.
All right.
Be safe, Sandy. Be safe. Oh,
why did she have to bring that up this morning? I wonder. She's going to go diving.
She's going diving.
I mean, is she going to wear her?
Maybe she's going to have her deep sea diving gear.
Is she going to wear, or she could be wearing her Tampa Bay Lightning. I guess she's a Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, diving gear. It's, you know, they lost a lot of players in this salary cap hit that they're going through right now, but they're picking up some also. So Tampa will still be okay, folks. Don't worry about the light.
You got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away. You need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Call them today. That's QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Speaking with JC on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, we're going to be joined by former Gator linebacker Earl Everett, talking about his career, talking about winning that national championship against the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That was a big night.
Yeah.
Oh, I got something for you, QB. Go ahead.
Go ahead before you forget.
So let's hear it for Sunisa Lee, the Olympian, the United States Olympian gymnast who won the gold medal. Let's talk about her instead of the other girl because this is a better story. It's positive. This girl now is going to Auburn University. And guess what? Unlike in the past, she's going to be able to make her millions in endorsements and compete for Auburn University in gymnastics as a gold medalist on the grandest stage in that sport. Good for Auburn, good for Sunisa Lee, and good for the fact that she's going to get her endorsement money, which she deserves, and be able to go to college at Auburn. How about them?
And she's probably going to make more than every football player, every athlete in college sports.
I just think it's great because this is a girl who came in and stepped up and did what she was there to do. And that's the story we need to be thinking about and focused on. And she's the one who should be getting paid the millions, which is what she's going to get paid.
She's going to be on the Wheaties box.
Great. Put her all over it. Put her on the Cheerios box. Put her on the Fruit Loops box. Put her on the Count Dracula box. You know, Count Chocula. Just, you know, Frankenberries. Put her on all the boxes.
Is that what you eat?
Rice Krispies. You know, I mean, I like Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios. But I put her on all the boxes and let her go to Auburn and let her make her money. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Good for her. I hope she can handle the pressure.
Obviously, yeah, no doubt about it. Speaking of the Olympics, you know, obviously the Gator swimmers have done a tremendous job. I think track and field starts today or tomorrow. We got a couple athletes in that. But have you watched any of the golf?
American guys are just not in it. They're not there, dude.
Are American guys leading the tournament?
I thought they were losing.
Xander Schauffele is 11 under par.
Okay, I didn't notice that. I saw Justin Thomas just look like he didn't even want to be there.
Well, it's all individual sport. So
yeah, I know. Yeah,
Xander 11 under. He has a 3-shot lead, I think.
Okay, I mean, great.
I'm not excited about that.
No,
I'm excited about the golf. That's about all I care about.
Okay.
I like the track. The track and field will kind of get you like to watch the Olympics.
That? Okay. Yeah. They're running in empty buildings. It's not their fault, though. It's not their fault.
You know, it is crazy when you watch like the damn beach volleyball and all that stuff. And my question is, when did they announce that there weren't going to be any spectators at the end?
I think it was basically a week beforehand. They
only a week? I kept thinking, okay, if they announced a couple of months ago that nobody was going to be here, why in the hell did they put these stands up?
Well, listen, dude, they've been building these stadiums forever.
Not stadium. I'm talking about bleachers. The stands at the golf course, the stands at the on the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you knew
I don't think they knew that.
Take them down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they knew that. They basically made the announcement right before it all started. And, you know, they're lucky to even have these games being played, if that's indeed luck. Exactly. I would have had to probably think that maybe push it off to next summer. I mean, they pushed it off 1 year. But then again, who knows what we're going to have next summer, right? Maybe we'll get through the Greek alphabet and get to the Zeta variant. So, who knows? It's just gotten out of control. There's a lot of doubt and confusion there. That is for sure. And I am worried that there's rumblings up in D.C. that lockdowns are coming back to many of these states, and that's going to affect the things that we like, other than the fact that we all have to work and everything else.
How many of the southern states you think that would – I know our state ain't shutting down.
Oh, well, no, but there's, you know, states up north and the blue states that have voted Democratic are Governor Murphy, for example, in New Jersey is talking about it. Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania, Governor Whitmer in Michigan. You could go on and on. This Newsom guy who's about to get recalled in California, he's talking about it. I mean, it's out there, folks. It's out there. You can either choose to ignore it or listen. It's one or the other, but it's going to happen one way or the other. Something's happening out there, and it's scary. I frankly don't think this country can put up with another lockdown. I don't think it can.
Yeah. So, JC, you know, NFL training camps have pretty much kicked off. You've been following the Rams or the Jaguars or
well,
one of your many teams?
You know, I obviously the story has been Aaron Rodgers getting to Green Bay and working out a deal where he's going to play this year, but then be basically unrestricted to do whatever he wants after this year. And that's what he wanted, you know, and he didn't want to give up any of his signing bonus money. He basically wanted his cake. And he wanted to eat it too. And when you're Aaron Rodgers, you can command that kind of thing. And the Packers kind of bent over and said, sure. They laid down and said, yeah, go ahead, Aaron. We would love to try to win the Super Bowl in 2021. So I don't know. I mean, that's the story to me in training camp. The rest of the training camp is just training camp. You know, it's what people do. It's what these teams do this time of year. They're getting ready for the season. I hope we have a normalized season coming. Because Tampa Bay fans need to see Tom Brady. Jacksonville fans need to see Urban Meyer and the rest of them.
You're worried about trying to sell your tickets out there in L.A. is what you're worried about that.
I am. Jesus. I am. There's no doubt.
Yeah. You're the JC, the ticket scalper.
Well, California is just a different world, man. It's a different world. My Rams happen to be in it. It's unfortunate. But that's L.A. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do out in California. I do know they're going to have a recall vote for that governor. That is absolutely going to happen. So we'll see.
Well, as you said, JC, NFL training camps have started. Next week, college football teams crank up. I want to say the college teams that play in week zero have already started practice. Did you see, and I talked with Brent Beard yesterday, college football has – It's crazy how the rules have changed. Okay, so you know how the NFL has limited contact and training camp and practices and all that.
Yeah,
college football is just like it now. You cannot have contact back to back days.
Okay,
it's all the studies from concussions and stuff.
Yeah.
So people talking about wanted to blame the pandemic on bad defense. Well, let me tell you something. It ain't gonna get any better. The rules favor the offense, and you can't practice tackling. It's gonna get worse.
I don't know. Do they want to just put flags on them, QB?
No, but I mean, you can still
all right. Well,
try to tackle. I'm just saying,
if you don't know proper tackling technique because you haven't had enough repetitions doing it, you don't practice it, then we're gonna see more injuries.
No, I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about
tackling.
First of all, it is hard to tackle people when they're in space. And when you don't really practice it, you're not going to be very good. And so we're going to have people calling these shows, Facebook Living, texting on the Titan MR text line. We're not a very good tackling team. Nobody's going to be a good tackling team. I'm telling you right now, in space, it's hard to tackle people these days, especially when you can't practice it. You know, all they practice now is these big donut looking foam things that you roll. It's called a tackling wheel. So okay. The coach rolls it at an angle and the kids go tackle it. Okay. The difference is the rolling wheel has no wiggle. He ain't making any moves. And that's my point.
Well, just imagine how Jeff Demps would have played, or Chris Rainey, you know, or Percy Harvin with all this lack of defense. How many more yards would they have gotten? But I worry about people trying to tackle or not knowing proper techniques with your head and your neck.
Well, look, if you're playing college football and you don't know
that's true. But can you remember? Okay, I get all that. But just know this. It's a 3 or 4 month season, and for 8 months, you don't do it. So you need to practice. You need to get back at it. You can be a concert pianist, but if you don't practice for 6 months, you're not a concert pianist anymore. You may know the keys and notes and octaves, but you're not a concert pianist anymore.
And that you're making my point. It's hard. You can't practice it is my point.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, that's why you're going
to think it's good.
You're going to see people calling and complaining all the talk shows around the world can't tackle.
Okay, but here's what the bottom line is going to be. What was the end result? Who won and who lost, right? So maybe
games. How many times have you heard when you win a game 40-35, our defense sucks, we can't tackle, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dan says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mountain Law.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama, you make the great case for Alabama last year. They couldn't tackle the Ole Miss game, but by the Ohio State game, they were fine. So.
Well, I wouldn't say they were fine. I just think Ohio State.
They were good enough to win. They were good enough to win. And
that's
they beat
my point.
Notre Dame,
the bottom line is, I don't care if you can't tackle anybody. If you score more points than the other team, that's all that matters.
Well, yes, but you're worried about people reacting badly.
I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
Okay, but teams will get better as they go playing defense. As the season goes, they'll get better. They should.
Dan says the Jaguars are in Dallas on August 29th. I get to see Tebow before that 8:30 cut down date.
Yeah.
I guess cut down date's the next day.
Okay. August 30th. So they're in there on the 29th. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. You may see them, you may not. But I don't know what you'll see.
When is the last cut down date? Is that the last cut date?
I couldn't tell you that, but the season starts the week after, I think the week after college starts, which is Labor Day weekend. So the season starts the weekend after Labor Day weekend. So it's usually, you know, September 8th, 9th, or 10th, something like that. Labor Day is always the first Monday in September.
Let's get to This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comforters is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is now hiring team members with all levels of experience, great culture and benefits, and opportunity for growth. A $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Call them today. That's Comfort Temp at 352-376-2366. All right, JC. This day in sports. Where'd it go? Here we go. In 1982.
All right.
The Atlanta Braves removed Chief Nakahoma to make room for more seats in the stadium. Did he used to have – that was the Indians that had the TP out there,
right? He had a TP in the left field of Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. And the best part of the whole deal was him going out to the pitcher's mound before the game and doing a dance. That was the best thing.
Dance.
Well, I don't know if it was a rain dance or a victory dance or some kind of dance, but it was an Indian dancing around the pitcher's mound and then going back to his TP in left field, all right? The Kansas City Chiefs have decided that their horse war chant and the Indian that rides that horse are no longer allowed to go to bring out the team at the beginning of every game. And don't worry, before you know it, we'll all have teams A, team B, team C, because the names of cities will probably also be a problem at some point. St. Louis, that's probably going to be a problem. You never know. But names are a big deal these days. So as long as if you're an animal, you got a chance, or a color, or a an OSHA, some sort of natural event, you're fine. If you are an Indian or
being called a tornado or a hurricane is fine, you think?
Yeah, I don't know why natural disasters would be a good thing. The Miami Hurricanes, I mean, that's more tragic, I think, seeing your house get blown away by a tornado. But why isn't anybody pissed about that? I mean, why are we allowing the Miami Hurricanes or the Gainesville High School Purple Hurricanes to be named a hurricane? That's a real freaking tragedy. Try living through a Category 5 hurricane. See how that works for you. In New Orleans, it didn't work out very well in 2005, but hell, we still got the Miami Hurricanes. Why is that allowed? That's a real tragedy.
Well, I didn't mean to get you all fired up, JC, talking about Chief Nakahoma. I couldn't remember. He did have a TP out. I know that was the Cleveland Indian guy, right?
I saw it. No. Listen, he had a TP at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium in left field. It was a triangle
in
left field.
What I'm asking, didn't Cleveland have a TP out there too? Where the guy used to bang the drum?
Cleveland had a fan. And they still may have that fan who stands against the wall in left field. He started at Municipal Stadium, which is also known as the Mistake by the Lake. And he would bang a drum damn game. Bang, 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 bang. Milwaukee has a guy that falls into a glass of suds. Bernie, the Brewer. When the Brewers hit a home run, where's my Brewer's hat? It's in the bathroom. When the Brewers hit a home run, Bernie the Brewer comes sliding down into the beer like this. It's the greatest thing. But I'm sure that's going to piss somebody off soon, so they'll have to get rid of Bernie, too. Let's cancel him.
You would have been a good mascot.
What kind of mascot?
Hey, be honest. Were you not Big Al when you were in school?
Big Al? No, I wasn't Big Al. No. Okay. Hey, I'm not getting in that hot. That thing was so big and hot, I would never – those games, no way. AstroTurf Stadium.
Dan says, I'm thinking of the movie Major League. They had a dude out there. And the TV. Okay, JC, before we let you go, I got this Facebook Live. It's pretty good here. It's from Chris. He says, Shane, how do you feel about these two teams coming to join the league if your team's like Vanderbilt and Kentucky? Well, Kentucky's picked to be second in the East, so I think they're not worried.
Remember,
they're so talented.
But let's just forget, this doesn't encompass just football, folks. Kentucky is a basketball school, and Vanderbilt is a baseball school. So, I mean, I don't think it affects anybody badly. This is all going to bring in more revenue and be even more, you know, think about this. You're a Vanderbilt fan sitting in Nashville, and here come the Oklahoma Sooners, and follow that with Alabama, and follow that with Texas, and follow that with Florida.
Oh, dear Lord.
You may go 0-4, but you're going to see some darn good football teams rolling in town, and it ain't Middle Tennessee State. So I think it's great for everybody.
What if Vandy draws, as you said, Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia.
I mean, why could that happen?
And throw A&M in there. Oh, dear Lord. Clark Lee says they're the best program in the country.
Good for Vandy. Vandy, anchor down, baby. Anchor down. But I don't know. I worry about schools like South Carolina and Tennessee. You know, these schools that have had a taste of winning, just a taste of it. You know, how are they going to respond to Georgia, Florida? Here comes Oklahoma and Alabama from the West.
How about this? I didn't even think about this because all we're thinking about is football, but John brings up a great point.
Okay.
Wait till Patty Gasso and them roll into Gainesville.
Softball. Yeah, we're going to have some real.
I didn't even think about that.
Softball.
I got to call Tim Walton and see what he thinks about this.
No, I think he's excited about it. He you know, every coach is going to say we want to compete against the best, right?
Well, that's true, but they also get bonuses when they win their conference.
Yeah. Well, listen. Hey, winning is the only thing they care about. Winning championships is the only thing they care about, and so I think it's great for programs that have rather medial type of like Mississippi State softball team and Tennessee softball team. These are average softball programs. I don't look. The everything's going to get better though. Everything will get better with expansion in my mind. And I just really am curious how the rest of the world is going to react to all this because something else is going to break. I don't know why the Big Ten. Explain to me why the Big Ten wouldn't try for Notre Dame and why are they automatically assumed to go to the ACC? I know they have a relationship with the ACC, but doesn't the Big Ten make so much more sense for Notre Dame than the ACC? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, I mean, come on. And I know West Virginia's trying. They're knocking on the ACC's door right now as we speak. If they go and that's announced soon and they can somehow pay these rights deals, look out. The Big 12 is toast. And maybe that's the next move. We're going to see West Virginia make that decision to join the ACC, and then the rest of them will fall like dominoes. I don't know. That's what Texas and Oklahoma are betting on. Bob Bowlesby says there's been collusion and this and that and the other. Listen, Bob, you know, it's been a good run for you, my man, but all good things must come to an end at some point, I guess.
No question. Before we let you go, JC, what's JC got planned for this weekend?
Well, this weekend is golf tomorrow, MGA event, Men's Golf Association. I run over to the beach, then come back on Sunday night.
All right. Well, have a good weekend.
What about you,
JC?
What do you got planned?
You know, I'm going to go probably check out Spurrier's restaurant tonight. They have a little friends and family deal. Thinking about doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I may play golf today if weather's decent. You never know. Okay. It freaking rains so much right now.
It's nuts. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
And, you know, that's about it. Going to take it easy. I feel like I've been traveling way too much the last couple of weeks. I'm not a huge traveler, so I like to stay home every now and then, Jason.
I get that.
I'm not a world traveler like you. I can't handle it.
I got to go to Pennsylvania in a week. So I'll be checking in, though. I'm bringing the iPad, QB. Don't worry. We'll have the itinerary set up so I can make it.
All right. JC, be safe. We're we're hoping to have Earl Everett join us here in just a second.
Do you want me to stick around? Do you want me to stick around in case he's not here?
Yeah, why don't you do that unless you're busy, JC. We'll do that. We're going to take our first time out of the program. You're watching and listening to Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free. South State Bank, Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Silverback Concrete Company. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
For all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers, if you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill Job Fair is open now. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Bass Pro Shop, Nike, Le Macaron French Pastries, Palmetto Moon, and coming August the 11th, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visors, Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're going to be joined by former Gator linebacker, national champion Earl Everett. Good morning, Earl. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're all great. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to join the program. I'll start it out like this, what I do with all the former players that come on. Earl, first of all, did you, you grew up here in the state of Florida, obviously signed. Ron Zook was the coach, the head coach at the time when you signed. What other schools did you think about, and what other schools did you take visits to?
My top five on my list was, of course, Florida, Miami, I hate to say Florida State. Nebraska, and I think the fifth one was Tennessee.
And what made you decide to become a Gator?
I always grew up a Gator fan, you know, growing up here in Florida. You know, I show little interest, you know, to Florida State pretty much during the recruiting process. Was kind of, you know, was the reason I kind of considered going to Florida State. Bobby Bowden had come down and watched me play a district championship basketball game. And then, you know, also came, you know, on a home visit afterwards. So, you know, with that said, you know, that was a really great impression, you know, in my eyes, you know, as far as a head coach coming to watch me play a basketball game that I, at the time, I didn't think meant anything, but, you know, in the coach's eyes, he wanted to see, you know, footwork, lateral movement, you know, and all that type of stuff. So, that was, you know, something that really stuck out with me. University of Florida, like I said, I always grew up, a Gator fan. And, you know, I would come to games here and there, you know, throughout my high school career, and, just love the atmosphere, man, you know, coming out of that tunnel, watching guys come out, you know, guys before me that played, also I've watched, you know, watching Shane play, guys like Jabbar Gaffney, you know, just, a lot of older guys, man, even way before then, you know, Breedell Anthony, you know, it just, the atmosphere was just a lot different from a lot of other schools. You know, like I said, going to different games and stuff that really just reeled me in. And going on my visit, you know, I seen that there was an opportunity for me to actually play early. So that was another thing that kind of stuck with me.
Earl, you know, usually linebackers, when they go to college, they play multiple positions, whether you're a running back or whatever at the high school level. Did they, yes, when Ron Zook and his staff recruited you, did they say, hey, you're going to be a linebacker, or is it just a position that you kind of, is that what you wanted to play, I guess is what I'm asking.
To be honest with you, I wanted to play strong safety.
Okay.
That was really the position that I played a lot of in high school. Well, I played a lot of positions in high school. Nebraska was recruiting me as a quarterback.
What? A quarterback?
Yeah, we ran the option in high school.
Oh, okay.
so that was back, you know, when I think the coach Frank was there. I think that was his name.
Frank Solich.
Turner Gill was there. Yes, yes. Turner Gill was there. Frank, Turner Gill, I think, was the offensive coordinator or quarterback's coach or something. But, yeah, we ran the option in high school, and I actually took a visit to Nebraska. And it was too cold. It was 14 degrees when I got off the plane. So I kind of knew that, you know, being a Florida boy, never really left out of the state before, and got up there, and it was freezing, and I pretty much had, you know, other options that I thought was a lot better with weather conditions. But with UF, I wanted to play safety. I only played linebacker really going into my senior year in high school. Like I said, I played multiple positions. So when I got to UF, I actually asked my linebacker coach at the time, Bill Miller, and Ron Zook about playing safety. And I was light, you know, I came in, I was weighing 200, right at 203, 204 was the weight that I weighed in when I got on campus. And by the time the season started, I was at 206. So obviously I was a little light. But my Bill Miller told me that, you know, they really needed me at linebacker. You know, we had some guys that were banged up, and, you know, and things worked out, you know, I think fourth or fifth game of the season, I ended up a third or fourth, one of the two, I ended up starting, you know, at the wheel linebacker spot. And then, you know, things kind of went well from there.
So Earl, when you look back, playing for two head coaches, obviously, you know, I've had Ron Zook on my show. I know he was a tremendous recruiter, players type coach. What was the biggest difference for you as a player between Ron Zook and Urban Meyer?
I think you hit it right on the head, man. Ron Zook was, he was a player's coach and great recruiter, man. He would come in your house and, talk to your parents and 20 minutes, they're in love with him. They want you to go play for Ron Zook. Urban Meyer was, we needed a lot of discipline, in our team. And when Urban Meyer came, he pretty much laid that foundation down and guys kind of bought in. And, it changed the program around. But, I love Ron Zook to death, man. When he left, a lot of guys wanted to leave and go wherever he was going. We wanted to follow him because, he was our coach. So for that to happen and the new coach come in not knowing what to expect, it was tough, because you didn't know if the next coach was going to like you or it was, but like I said, guys bought in and everything, turned out great for us. Coach Meyer is a great coach. I mean, everybody in the country knows that. And he changed everything around for us and the wheels just kept rolling.
Bro, when you look back at your career and, you've been away from Florida for a while, the national championship game against Ohio State, I don't think a whole lot of people on the outside gave the Florida defense much of a chance against Troy Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, and the Buckeyes. But what, leading up to that game, what made y'all play so well? And obviously, I would probably guess your favorite play as a Gator would be the sack with no helmet on Troy Smith. Am I right about that?
You're definitely right about that. That's a play that I'll never forget. Going into that game, like I said, nobody gave us a chance. And, we would read different things throughout the media, saying that we don't deserve to be on the same field. So that was extra gas added to the fire. When we got there, our first night, we didn't really have a curfew, and we went and hung out, at some little local bar or whatever. I don't even know if Coach Meyer knew, but we went and hung out at this bar, and it just so happened that a lot of the Ohio State players were there. And we walk in, and it's probably about 8 or 9 of us, and we're just kind of hanging out. And these guys from Ohio State had bought out whole section, this VIP section. And they were in there like partying like they had won the championship already. And this is no lie. We had, I think it was Ray McDonald, but I remember it was one of our defensive linemen was like, guys, let's go. And everybody was like, what you mean? It was like, man, let's go. We're going to let them have this tonight because I think we played on a Monday or Tuesday night, but whatever night it was, he said, come Monday night, it's on. And this is no lie. We left that bar and went back to our hotel. And I remember me and Silas going back to our hotel room and we just started studying and that lit another fire under us, man. And we just felt like we were disrespected, as a linebacker corps, we felt like we had the best linebacker corps in the country. And we really felt that deep down. And we had the number 2 defense at the time, and for everybody to, not everybody, but a lot of the analysts were saying that we didn't deserve to be on the same field. That was just a slap in the face.
Yeah, it's we just got a Facebook Live comment brought to you by Meldon Law. Andre says, Tom Brady said that we had no business playing for the national championship that year, which is why I'm not much of a Brady fan, but he is the GOAT. Yeah, I do remember a lot of people saying Florida didn't deserve to be there. And then dadgummit, I was actually at that game on the sideline, and they run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And after that, they didn't do a damn thing. At Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping homebuyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. We're speaking with former Gator linebacker, national champion Earl Everett on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. So, Earl, when you look back at your playing days at Florida, I like to ask all these guys that come on, who is your favorite opponent you like to play against? What other school?
Favorite opponent? I would probably have to say probably Georgia, man. You know, there's just as much bad blood between us and Georgia than it is Florida State, you know. But with Georgia, there was always a lot of trash talk, you know, versus Georgia. You know, there was a little with Florida State, but Georgia, it was just so much more. You know, we're playing on a neutral site, and their running backs always had something to say, you know, for me, you know. And I just enjoyed that game, man, because it was always a dog fight, you know. It was hardly ever lopsided, you know. And I love those type of games, man. I wouldn't want it any other way, you know. But it would probably definitely have to be the Georgia Bulldogs.
Coach Mullen was the offense coordinator when you were here playing with Urban Meyer, the head coach. Did you have any kind of relationship? I know he's on the other side of the ball, but did y'all talk smack to Coach Mullen in offense? And how often do you get back to Gainesville?
Me and Tyler would always, you know, talk a little smack to the offense, you know, here and there throughout practice. And, you know, they talk a little smack back. But love Mullen, man. He's a great coach, and I really love what he's doing, you know, up there in Gainesville. I haven't been able to get back. I went last year to the Orange and Blue game, but that was the only event I was able to make. I just had a son, you know, this past year. He'll actually be a year next month on the 8th.
Awesome. Congrats.
So I've been having, yeah, thank you. I've been having daddy duties here lately, but I'm excited to get him up there and get back, you know, get back to Gainesville. I ran into Coach Gonzalez about a week ago. We had a 7-on-7 tournament at my high school, South Sumter. I've been coaching back there for like 9 years.
Awesome.
And his son plays for Trinity, and they were down, and he was there watching, you know, his son play. So I had a little talk with him, and I told him I'm definitely going to, you know, get back up there pretty soon.
Yeah, once we get kids, boy, it's tough. I understand that. Earl, let me ask this. I don't know why I can't remember this. Your senior year, was that the year we blocked the field goal against South Carolina, or was that the game we lost to Ole Miss?
That's the game we blocked the field goal.
Yeah, okay, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because that was the play that basically allowed us to get to the national championship game, in my opinion. It was one of the – because if people don't remember, South Carolina had us beat. I want to say the previous play, they hit like a slant down to like the 4-yard line, but they called left tackle moving too early. Just talk about, right, you know, what y'all said as a defense when they're getting ready to kick that game-winning field goal.
It's crazy, man. I had a bum ankle that game, pretty much that whole season. And I hurt my ankle early on during that game. And I remember Charlie Strong, he said, we need you on the field. You know, you at 70% is better than our backup at 100. And so I go back in that game, and I just remember, you know, the quarterback was scrambling right before they went for that field goal. The quarterback was scrambling, trying to get a first down, and I'm chasing the running back, and he reversed field. And I was trying to plant, and it ended up being, after all this scrambling around, like a 10-yard out. And all I could do was just dive to push this kid out of bounds. And then they line up, you know, to kick that field goal. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, we have to block this, you know. And we always ran our, you know, field goal block with Jarvis Moss, you know, rising up, you know, through the middle and trying to block it. And I'd be darned, man, he went up and got it. You know, but your thought just beforehand is like, this could end our season, man. Like, how do we get to this point? You know, but we had faith in it, man. You know, nobody, you know, a lot of times during that moment in a game, you know, you have guys starting to break down because they think it's over. But I really didn't see any of that, you know, in any of our players, man. everybody was just kind of pumped. Like, we have to go get this. Like, we have to go get it now. Like, this is do or die, you know? And, like I say, Jarvis went up and got it, man. And of course, you know, the emotions after that was crazy, you know, but it was,
yeah,
awesome.
That was one of the biggest plays in Florida football history. I think people kind of forget about, how tight that game was and how close we were to losing it. But as you mentioned, field goal block team and Jarvis Moss found a way to make a play. Well, Earl, hey, man, I appreciate you getting up, taking the time to join our program. I know a lot of Gator fans, when they think of that national championship team in 2006, the one thing that stands out, and it does it for me, honestly, is that picture of you with no helmet on taking down Troy Smith.
No doubt, man. Thanks. I really appreciate you having me on, and you know the routine, man. Once a Gator, always a Gator. And like I said, I appreciate it, and I always appreciated our Gator fans, man, for the support. You know, it always meant a lot to us.
Good stuff, Earl. Good luck to y'all this year. We'll be in touch, my man.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, that's Earl Everett. Join us on the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to take our final time out of the program, come back, wrap up this Friday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility.
Meldon Law, won't back down.
Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise.
QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration. Live pain-free.
South State Bank.
Celebration Point Town Center. Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
For all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers, if you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill Job Fair is open now. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Center State Bank is now South State Bank, but we still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward member, FDIC. I want to thank JC and former Gator linebacker Earl Everett for joining us on the Titan MRI Hotline. Make sure I screwed that up, didn't I? It's the Titan MRI Hotline, folks. Make sure you tell all your friends and family to follow our program on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any dang digital platform out there. I don't know what you're supposed to do, but hit the follow button and check us out no matter where you are in the world. We'll be lined up for some good guests next week. We're getting closer to kickoff, folks. We'll talk a little NFL next week with training camps getting the full action. We'll try to get somebody to give us a report on Tebow over there with the Jaguars. But I hope you enjoyed this week's lineup. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by RapSpot. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Monday. We'll be right back.